This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Once again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining me on this very, very special show. Coming up this hour, a conversation with Susie O'Donnell. You're going to love her. She really, to me, embodies the expression grateful, and her book is all about that. She talked about art never leaving her, and that she hadn't painted since she was a teen, and then she lost her son through adoption and, you know, had gone into the depths of depression time and time again. And she found her son in 2008, and she allowed herself to paint again when she found her son, and it, just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And she says her book is for anyone looking to find their heart again, and to do that by touching the child inside yourself, right? We hear that so often, that we adult, and where is the fun? That's one of my mantras is, you know, if I'm not having fun, why am I doing this? And her book is called Laughing Lily and the Magic Tree, so she is coming up a little bit later this hour. And we're also going to take you to India for a pretty powerful conversation with Nidhi, and I think Nidhi will yield some interesting results for many of you. Pay attention to what our conversation is about there too as well. I thought it's Thanksgiving, being grateful, big heart, all that kind of stuff. You'll find him rather intriguing as well. All right, what do I find intriguing? What I find intriguing is the nightmare of getting from point A to point B on the holidays. But, you know, what's that song? There's no place like home for the holidays, no matter how you far or wide you travel, that kind of thing. I met a man from Tennessee, blah, 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 however that song goes. And he was going home for some pumpkin pie. So the good thing is that some people are getting a chance to give themselves that ultimate brain break. Everybody needs a brain break. Are we not exhausted from the political follies, the incessant chatter of those who hold the purse strings? Unfortunately, in the U.S., some of what we've had to deal with and what you're dealing with around the country, frankly, and all of us in this massive pandemic nightmare that's been almost 2 years. I mean, just crazy. And of course, heading into the holidays, some horrible things over this past weekend. 20 people injured when a driver plowed through a parade in, you know, Wisconsin. And I mean, just several children, all of that, just an awful, awful thing. And what we saw happen with the missionaries, the 17 missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti, we talked about that. We talked to somebody about that. And the good news is a few of them had been released because, you know, it's that whole thing. The missionaries are in a place that's very dangerous now because of the assassination of their president, because of the economic woes that they're facing there, and what life has become. And these kidnappings happened back in October, the second week in October. And you know, this Caribbean nation is in the center of an international crisis. So you had a group of Americans and Canadians, and you had adults in this group that were kidnapped from 18 to 48, according to the Christian Aid Ministries, I remember at the time. So just a terribly sad thing, people trying to reach out and you know, help others. And so we're seeing that. We're seeing backlash, you know, lots of backlash. That's really what we've seen, I think, across the world in various ways, and lots of backlash certainly in the United States for a myriad of reasons, of disappointing actions, of things that have happened politically speaking. And can we just hit pause? Can we just have like a break as we swing? Is that too much? I mean, I get it. Listen, I'm always swinging for the fences. I'm putting my bat down. Are you putting your bat down like for a second? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Just take a breath. We all calmly take a breath. And then we get on to it again, right? Because It is crazy. This is a time of year where it's also really, really tough for so many people. Suicide prevention, the suicide hotlines are big, and I'm glad, because sometimes that the suicide hotline talks somebody out of it, what could be a disastrous situation for families, etc. And now phone companies are going to allow people to text as well as call this new 988 number for the suicide prevention hotline. So the Federal Communications Commission last summer voted to require phone companies to support the 988 number for people to call to reach an existing suicide prevention hotline, because this is, texting is critical. I mean, don't you communicate through text? How many deals, how many conversations, how many whatever have you done through texting? And especially Americans, there's no question that you have deaf people who communicate that way, speech disabilities, by the way, also. So there was no question last week they voted for zip to require the texting option. I think that's a really, really good thing. Young people, people with disabilities, people who are panicked, texting. If they can text and they can call the suicide hotline, how great would that be? And the fact that they're supporting it, because there's seasonal depression. And seasonal depression is really, really tough. I've seen a lot of people go through that because they lost somebody, because the family that was so perfect and wonderful, they lost members to cancer or other diseases or whatever it might be. And it is called SAD. It's seasonal affective disorder. So depression or depressive episodes in a specific time of year, especially fall and winter, and that happens to a lot of people. There's like a weird crash. And then there's a crash people have after the holidays, because it's a woohoo, it's the holidays, there's vacation, and then they get this wild mood swing, right? And what do you do? So what do you do to combat that? And I think it's great that there's people that work those lines. I think it's great that now there's a texting option. All good, all up, all grateful for that, all thankful for that. I think, absolutely, absolutely. I was reading a quick technology note for you. I was reading about General Motors saying it's going to offer more heated seats on their 2022 vehicles of all sorts, right? Even though there's a chip shortage. And I thought to myself, I have heated seats. I love heated seats. Why? Because when it's freezing and I live in a state where you never know what the weather is going to be, and I get into the car and I'm chilly, right? I just push that button and boom, there you go. So GM doing it. They pulled this out of the rabbit's hat. They said they figured out a way to offer popular features, and one of them on the Cadillac, the Chevy, Buicks, and the loyal customers want those seats, and there's a way to activate the heated and ventilated front seats without the feature that they would need with this chip thing that controls them. So initially they thought they wouldn't be able to offer that. See, when the world changes and you have to make that wild pivot, innovation happens. People come up with ideas. They figure out a way around it. They come up with solutions. Instead of giving me problems, they come up with solutions. And, there's a big economic reason why they want to come up with those solutions, right? So here's to heated seats. Hear, hear. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the flip side. And once again, happy Thanksgiving for those who celebrate.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to Meta.com. Joins us, and he's written a book called Live As Long As You Dare, A Journey to Gain Health, Vibrant Years, and it is it's a game changer, definitely. And we've talked to him in the past, and I'll tell you what, when you talk to Leonard, you feel like you can climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm serious. So Leonard, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kate, for having me.
So this book, tell us about why you wrote it and what you want people to take away from reading it.
Well, I wrote it because I retired 5 years ago. I spent my career in the food industry, so I'm pretty well read on nutrition and diet and exercise and such and the impact those have on your health. And I looked around my friends and family and myself, too, and my conclusion was that these people were not very healthy and that they were on their way to an early demise that was totally unnecessary. So I started doing some research into it and read a lot. And what's wonderful about today is there's so much information available and much of it for free, although I had to pay for a lot of it. It doesn't matter. Anyway, there's so much information that we don't know about, and it shocked me, even as a career professional. So how can we expect, you know, regular people who don't deal with this stuff every day, are not deeply involved in the science of it, how can we expect them to be aware? And the answer is they're not. And, you know, the media does not do a very good job of educating us about information and studies that are out there. I hear all the time these conspiracy theories. Oh, well, you know, the drug industry doesn't want us to know that eating a high-fiber diet will reduce your blood pressure. Well, maybe they don't want us to know, but it took me 30 seconds to find that study on Google Scholar.
Yes, boy, it shows you. And your book is filled with gems like that. And one of the things I like that you talk about right from the get-go is to just, I think people get overwhelmed, too, and they have excuses for why they can't implement something. And you say, just make a change a week.
That's right. But we look at ourselves where we are now, and we project where we'd like to be, and the gap is quite large. And we say it's too big of a jump. I don't know how to make that leap. It's too far. So we end up doing nothing, and that's a big mistake. So the trick is, as you said, any big intractable problem, the way to solve it is to break it up into little pieces, make it easy, make it even a game, and add these little changes to your lifestyle. And I emphasize, and I'll emphasize over and over again in my book, the fact that this is a lifestyle change, not something that you change for a week or a month or 3 months, not the exercise of the month club. No, this is something you're going to add these little changes to your lifestyle and then keep them there for the rest of your life. And whether you're 25 or 85, it doesn't really matter that much, meaning there's something you can do. You can improve. You can get better. You can be better. And there's no reason not to try. And that's why the book is called Live As Long As You Dare, because you have to dare. You have to want to.
Yeah, I love that. You're right. I love that. Live as long as you dare. All right, so you're not going to tell us everything, but give us a couple of tips that people listening right now can, while they're waiting for the book to arrive at their house, that they can put to good use.
Okay. Well, I start the book off with attitude. Okay, very important to have a positive attitude and to have a vision. Regardless of your age, you should have a personal vision. And, you know, usually when we talk about something at 2-3 weeks or a month, we don't call it a vision, we call it a goal. Okay, that's good. Have a goal. You need some goals for what you're going to accomplish in the next couple weeks, next month. How about the next year? How about the next 3 years, 5 years? How about 50 years? Okay, I'm 68 years old right now. And I tell my daughter I want to live for another 50. And she rolls her eyes. And then she watches me and what I'm doing and the impact it's having on my health. And now she's worried because she thinks I might actually do it. So you can do it. The point is, have a vision for where you want to go and what you want to achieve. If you have a longer-term vision, especially when you get older like me, so at 68, I say, well, gee, I'm not going to take on that project of writing that book or taking that trip. It's too much. I'm too old for that. Well, if I don't have that, change it around and I say, well, gee, I'm going to live another 20, 30, 50 years, 50 years. I got plenty of time. Why wouldn't I start writing that book? Why wouldn't I take that extra course? Why am I not learning how to speak French? Why not? And I emphasize in the book as well that the proper question for us at our age is not why anymore. Why was great when we were 5 years old? The right question today is why not? Why am I not doing this? So I start with there, attitude and vision and having a plan for where I want to, what I want to achieve while I'm here. And then we talk about activity and how to be active, productively active, not painfully active. Pain is usually a sign that we're doing something wrong. We should listen to our bodies when our bodies hurt. The reason why they hurt, don't just ignore it. There's pain, no gain, nonsense. There's a teeny bit of truth to it when it comes to muscles, meaning muscular pain is an ache. That's good pain, okay? But when your joints and are hurting, that's bad pain. You have to be able to differentiate between those two, and you don't want to go there. We want to be able to increase our capability every month, week, year, as opposed to allowing it to decline. Make it play. Make it fun. If you don't like doing something, you're not going to do it. So find an exercise or a routine that you actually enjoy doing. You're likely to do it much more. Talk about food. There's so much misinformation out there about food, good foods and bad foods. Good diets, bad diets, and most of it is either obsolete or absolutely wrong scientifically. I won't go into all the details, but the biggest takeaway I would give you is that bigger issue for us is not what we eat, it's how much we eat. That's the bigger issue. I'm not saying that you should avoid sugar. Yes, avoid sugar. Moderate your carbs. Yes, carbs should be taken in balance with your activity level. If you're inactive, carb intake should be low. If you're very active, like a marathon runner, you better be eating bowls and bowls of pasta or you're literally going to starve yourself to death. So carbs in balance with activity, sugar as low as you can. We don't need any sugar, okay? And incorporate good foods that contain fiber and antioxidants into your diet. That's critical. And, you know, it's so easy to do. Turmeric is a very nice spice. It's mild, very high in antioxidants. Why not put a little turmeric in your oatmeal in the morning? Why not wear a cocoa powder? Also very high in antioxidants. How about when you make that stir fry tonight with rice and whatever else you put, the vegetables, why not throw a tablespoon of turmeric in there? You can do it. When you make mashed potatoes, put some turmeric in it. Or if you're making mashed sweet potatoes, put some turmeric in it. That's just one example. You can add turmeric to your diet and keep it there virtually every day for the rest of your life. And it's not hard, not painful, and actually it's fun. It's delicious.
Wow, so that's
a great tip. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to learn how to take care of ourselves in ways we've never done before. I call it extreme self-care. You start by observing. Look at your body. Look in the mirror. Look in the scale. Listen to it. How's it feel? Observe. And then be aware. What does that mean? What is my body trying to tell me? Okay? And then do something about it. Okay? If I have a little too much belly fat, okay, what can I do about that? Let's go find out. There are some steps you can take, actually fairly easy ones, that will help you get rid of that. It doesn't happen overnight, and that's part of the problem. People expect you to do results. Well, it's not going to happen. It took a long time for that belly fat to get there. It's going to take a little while to get rid of it, but you can do it. The trick is to break it up into little pieces, stick to the game. I give you 101 little changes that you can make in your life, in your lifestyle, that are going to improve your health, help you live longer and healthier.
Oh, I love that. 101 little changes.
And I suggest making one change a week. Not hard. It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's you got to get that mindset. So good. So good. And it's a perfect time for people to do this because we start to assess what's going on in our lives as we get to the beginning of the next year. And here we are at this point. So this is a great time for this. Again, the book is Live As Long As You Dare. I think you're going to live to be, who knows how old, Leonard. A Journey to Gain Health, Vibrant Years. For sure. Like I said, you can get it on Amazon or B&N, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Leonard, thanks so much for coming on again.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. All the best and live as long as you dare, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for listening to this conversation. Make it count, everybody.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More people meeting in person this Thanksgiving compared to last year, which was more virtual. In New York City, spectators and balloons returned for the Thanksgiving Day parade.
It's live and awesome, and there's everything here. It's the whole vibe of the city coming together.
There were 28 floats, 10 marching bands from across the nation, 8,000 marchers, and 15 giant character balloons. There were a few new ones this year, including the Baby Yoda from Star Wars The Mandalorian. Also, some classics like Snoopy, Pokemon, SpongeBob, and Ronald McDonald. President Biden called into the Macy's Day Parade from Nantucket Island, where he and First Lady Jill are spending the holiday. He also thanked service members while visiting a Coast Guard station on Nantucket. This is USA Radio News. Emergency officials in Russia say there's no chance of finding any more survivors after a coal mine fire in Siberia.
Three people have been arrested in Russia following an accident in a Siberian coal mine that's now known to have killed more than 50 people. The mine's director and two other managers are being held on suspicion of safety violations. Six rescuers are among the dead.
That was Sue Montgomery from the BBC. Scientists in South Africa say they've now detected a new COVID-19 variant. They say it has a large number of mutations, and they're blaming it for a surge in infection numbers where the variant is spreading. The BBC's Mark LaBelle reports Britain has banned all travel from the country and five other southern African nations.
Orders are being put up in response to them finding out this information at a very early stage. They said that they prefer more support was coming their way rather than this travel ban implemented immediately.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Well, I'm so excited to take you to what I am sure is a little slice of heaven on earth, and it's just outside of Sydney, about an hour or so, and it's a wonderful beach area. Susie O'Donnell joins us, and she's written a book called Laughing Lily and the Magic Tree. So, Susie, thanks so much for coming on.
It's lovely to be here, Kate. Thank you for having me.
What inspired this book?
I've always had, the inspiration is I've always had a love of art. I've had a love of creativity, anything that you need to tap inside yourself to express. And I loved the fact that I'd had a major awakening, I suppose, is the thing. And the reason that I wrote the book was basically because it was an acknowledgement of that awakening of that inner child within myself. Lily's a little girl. She's struggling. She's having a difficult time. Her father's gone missing. You know, she's living with a grandmother that she's not used to living with. All these things are happening to her. And all of a sudden, she's taken on this incredible journey of self-discovery, I guess is what you'd call it. She becomes, you know, entwined with nature. She understands certain things that she's never understood before. She's becomes this little person who all of a sudden it starts to grow, starts to become a part of her environment, but also become herself. And Lily is a person, I think, who absolutely has personified my, I suppose, if you like it, hero's journey in life. You know, she has taught me a lot about myself. And I think that she really comes to a point where she meets all these magical people, meets all these magical animals, and becomes connected once more to herself and to her environment. And that's probably, in a nutshell, the story. It's about a journey of rediscovery, of understanding who you are, of finding some comfortable place in your life that you can move forward from. And that's what Lily's about.
And it's so interesting, your background, because I think we
we write about what we know, and we can pour it into characters or children's books or just different kinds of novels, however it is that we get our story out. And you had an interesting story. You grew up in a big family, and you grew up, as you said to me, there was, you know, it was tumultuous, because whenever you have a lot of people in a house, no matter what size, you're going to have that, different opinions, different ages, that kind of thing. But you really, really found yourself and came out on the other end, didn't you?
I did. I think that's the thing. I was sort of at the bottom end of the family, and I definitely became very lost in it. As a child, you try to model yourself on your heroes, and a lot of my heroes were my brothers and sisters, and I often felt I didn't meet up to them, or, you know, you compare them, the old sibling rivalry and all those sorts of things. And I think the thing is that, you know, I've been blessed to have such a beautifully supportive and wonderful family. I've suffered from depression and mania and all sorts of crazy things through my life, and I have had that support of my family, but I've also they've supported me in the way that I've been able to find myself, that I have been able to come to terms with my life. I have been able to look at myself and go, you're actually okay, you know, you're all right, you're doing well, you know, and you don't have anything to be worried about or frightened of. You are able to move forward in a way that will benefit yourself and benefit others. And a huge way of finding that was through rediscovering art again. You know, I don't look at myself as a great painter or a great writer or anything, but I think the whole point of Laughing Lily is to encourage people to engage with that side of themselves and realize that side of themselves is incredibly powerful in helping them to heal and in helping them to move forward and helping them to know themselves, which is what our journey is really all about, isn't it? It's about knowing ourselves. You know, we can never really know anyone else, but we can know who we are, and we can sit comfortably with ourselves. And I think that's been a huge part of Laughing Lily and the Magic Tree. You know,
I love that too, because, you know, people are listening to our conversation and they're in that place that you're talking about, Susie, where they're trying to get comfortable. They're trying to deal with the past. They're trying different things, but they can't seem to open that up. And I agree with you that that's the idea when you read Laughing Lily, what you go through.
That's right. I think it's about that thing of not being critical of ourselves so much either. I think that, you know, we are so self-critical. You know, it's about just saying to yourself, yeah, look, I'm okay. I'm enough. I can do this. You know, I can put the next foot forward and, you know, just one little story I'll tell you. My husband had to stop working years ago because of his illness, and he was so frustrated at the time. It was terrible. He didn't know what to do with himself or where to go or how to deal with this fact that he'd been the breadwinner and no longer he was, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, so I turned around one day and I said to him, Huey, what did you love to do as a child? And he looked at me and he went, look, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, what did you love to do as a child? And he said, I used to love to draw and paint. I go, well, there you go. That's what we're going to do. So we booked him into an art class, and then he became great friends with his art teacher. She used to come here to our house and teach him as well. And he opened up this whole new avenue in his life, and he basically walked forward in it. And, you know, he's a good artist. He's a very good artist. And, you know, but the thing that it gave him was self-worth again. It gave him that ability to say, okay, I can't work in the mainstream anymore, but I can do this. And I love doing this. And I feel like it's that thing of being able to put something in front of yourself and say, I did this and it's not bad. You know, it might not be the best painting in the world or this, that. No, it doesn't need to be. You know, it's about the fact that you've done it and that, you know, in doing that, you've connected with a part of yourself that you've lost somewhere along the line. And that's so important, I think.
Oh, so, so powerful. And I think you said it, and again, Laughing Lily and The Magic Tree, you can get it on Amazon, you can get it Barnes & Noble, you can get it wherever great books are sold. And we're speaking with Susie O'Donnell, the author of this book. What do you hope people take away from reading it?
I think I really hope that people get the importance of being connected to themselves again. We're so busy rushing around the place. We're so busy doing all these things that we're, inverted commas, meant to be doing. You know, we're so worried about what the neighbours have got or what the neighbours are doing and all those sorts of things. I really hope that somebody out there will sit down with this book, read it and go, oh, it's so nice to just sit and to read a child's story, to read something simple that makes me feel like a child again and that makes me feel connected again, you know, that makes me think that, okay, yes, I am capable of reconnecting with that inner child in me and moving forward in a much more powerful and strong way. And I think that's something I really hope that people get from it, that, you know, that we all have these little children inside us that we force down and that we don't pay attention to because we're taught not to, you know, or you're grown up now, you're not a child anymore, you're this, that and the other. But it's the child in us that is so connected to us that we, I think, as adults, really need to just look at that little person who wasn't influenced so strongly, you know, the little person who could just play freely, laugh freely, enjoy life, and then just move forward in life and not be worried about what everybody else thought or what everybody else, you know, has or anything like that. I think it's about that. I think in a time of COVID too, I'm just going to say this, is that, you know, we're forced into these situations where we're isolated and, you know, use it wisely. Look at yourself. Look at who you are. Don't be worrying about whether you're going to come out of lockdown or go back into lockdown or whether you should be vaccinated or not vaccinated or all those sorts of things. Look at yourself and really say to yourself, okay, I have this time on my own. Let me find that little inner person inside of me and let me play with them for a while and see what gifts they have to give me. I think that's what I want.
Ah, that's a lovely place to end this. Laughing Lily and the Magic Tree. Susie O'Donnell, thank you so much for sharing with us and joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. And if you're ever down this way in the lovely Australia, please look me up. I'd love to show you around our area. We live in a little tropical subtropical paradise, and we're very blessed. And I'm really, really grateful for talking to you today. Thank you.
What a great story listening to Susie O'Donnell. Just a good reminder, it's so easy when something tragic happens to cut yourself off from something that you love, instead of using that to continue to fill your soul or that void or whatever. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, it could be hitting golf balls. It could be that you love playing golf and you gave it up because some tragedy happened. And there's power in that. And in her case, it was art, and it was the power of art which she poured into the book, and the book really mattered. And obviously, she came out on the other side. You can get Laughing Lily and the Magic Tree on Amazon, as we said before, or BNN. Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
To Delhi for a conversation with Nidhi, who joins us, who's written a book. He's written a book called Harp that is really fascinating because I wasn't a child of the 60s. You know, I wasn't a teenager then, but I would have loved to be a teenager then because I can imagine what it was like. And this book takes you through that, through this really awesome journey. But I'm going to let him give you all the details on his wonderful novel. But before we go there, first of all, Nidhi, hi, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi.
I think it's worth telling about your background. I mean, you have quite a history when it comes to your educational background and what you've done business-wise. Give us a little glimpse of your history.
Well, let me start off quickly with my father. My father was a self-made man. And he was very poor, so it's the American dream coming through in India. And he rose through dint of his hard work and his financial genius to be one of the top three industrialists in India. One of the top three, and that means he had interests in cement, in steel, in jute, in textiles, in chemicals, in biscuits, in dairy products, in a host of other products, because I don't want to go on and on, but in virtually every field. And he even came to America in the early 50s to preach one world government. And he was interviewed by the top U.S. magazines and television at that time, CBS, Time, etc. He was also anti the government at that time in India, their economic policy. So he was viewed as a major opposition politician. So we had You know, in the flat where we were staying as very little children, we had Secret Service men guarding the flat.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah. And, you know, he was taken to the Empire State Building, and that was the tallest building at that time. And he asked, how much is that for? He wanted to buy it.
Wow. I would have liked to have had a conversation with your father as well. And obviously he emphasized education because of the wonderful institutes that you went to.
That was more me. He emphasized spirituality because he also gave us a lot of philosophy. And despite being so rich, he believed in the inward journey and the soul, and the Upanishads and the Vedas in India, the spirituality that it's renowned for, the philosophy. So he was like that. And what that gave me was that our initial education was in Sanskrit and Hindi, and it was only about philosophical books. So later on I went to school, and then I was driven to attend to go to various places because I wanted those experiences. And I went to a lovely college in Delhi, and called St. Stephen's College. And that was a Cambridge mission to Delhi University. And I loved that, partly because of the time when I was growing up, the late 60s. And then I wanted, that was over, so I wanted more educational experiences. So then I went to the Sorbonne, and after that I went to Oxford. Oxford, I studied PPE, which is triple honors in philosophy, politics, economics. And then much later, after I had business experience, I went to a program like the Advanced Management Program at the Harvard Business School. So that's about my what I decided to do with my education. But I also managed some of the factories that my father asked me to manage. So I had a lot of industrial experience. And I loved working in those factories because they ran for 24 hours. And I would set the alarm and get up at 3 in the morning, for example, and go and check on the night shift. So those experiences I'll never forget. And dealing with so many workers, keeping them motivated. Because the biggest thing you have to do with people is to keep them motivated, have them identified so that they work better, so that they're a part of you.
Yeah, wow. And I think so much of your background and the different people that you've dealt with, and I think your education and the education from your father spiritually, I believe that led you to this novel and some of what's in this story. So tell us about HARP. Why did you write it, and tell us what it's about?
So HARP is the story of set in the late 60s, and it tries to capture that time. It's replete with the music of that time. So music is so much in it that it's almost one of the characters. And then it is about travel. Travel to also to the England of the swinging 60s, the England of the Rolling Stones and Carnaby Street and, of course, the Beatles and all that was happening there. But not just England. Also, it's set in Finland, and Finland is a beautiful country, and many in America might think it was communist. It borders the Soviet Union, but it wasn't communist. It was as capitalist as could be. And also set in Norway, which is another fabulous country. So Norway and Finland, and then also Poland behind the Iron Curtain. Now that was something else, because the police had a dossier on everyone that came. You had to go and register with the police the moment you came. And they knew everything about you. And so the novel is set in these three places. plus in England. Now, it's not an autobiography, but of course you have to draw on the experiences you have, because how else are you going to get experiences? So it's that, and it's composed of characters, some of whom I had the pleasure to meet, but they've been changed, they've been modified, they've been transformed into other characters, and a lot has been invented. So in the end, I love those characters, and I wish I could meet them.
And that is when you know that you have something special. When you understand the characters, when you flush them out, and you take us on these adventures. So we pick apart, people are listening to us, they can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. So they pick up your book and they read it. What do you hope that they take, Nidhi, that they take away from reading Harp?
What I hope is that, first of all, like the mamas and papas sang, go where you want to go, do what you want to do. I hope they do that. Secondly, that they have no regrets. Because at the end of the day, if you have regrets, then you, because life is very short, as we all know. It's over in a trice. And you don't want to be thinking, I wish I had done this or I wish I had done that. Do it. Do it to the best you can. You can't always do it, but try anyway. And do it to the extent you can. So no regrets, because in the end, if you have regrets, it's what you didn't do, not so much what you did wrong. That also maybe, but most of all what you didn't do. Oh, I should have done this. The road not taken. Well, take it. So that, and not to be scared of love, because I'm an incurable romantic, and I think there's nothing like love. And even if it doesn't work out, and you always hope that it will, but even if it doesn't, you will still have had that love, you will have had those precious moments, which were lived moments, so nothing and nobody can take that away. You have those memories, those sweet memories. And if it didn't work out, then that's why they say it's better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all.
Boy, such a perfect place to end this. Pick up this book, Harp, go on the adventure. Nidhi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to meta.com.